It has been said that faith is always one generation from extinction. Faith is always one generation from extinction. When you think about that, that's very true. Because no matter how much I may love the Lord, no matter how much I may personally serve God, I cannot believe for my children. I cannot force my children to have the faith that I have. I cannot somehow implant within them the faith that I possess. It's not possible. It would be nice if somehow we could just screw the tops of their heads open and put faith within it, but we can't do that. We long to, we want to, we wish with all of our hearts that our children will share the same faith that we have in our lives. And yet our children must develop their own walk with God. Our children must develop their own faith. I don't know how many times I have had fellow Christians say, "Bill, I don't understand it. We were at church every time the doors were open. We've done all that we've known to do, and our children still have not stayed with the church, have not maintained their faith in God. What did I do wrong?" And the truth may be, the answer may be nothing. You may have done nothing wrong. You may have done everything right. Because ultimately, the responsibility for developing faith lies with the individual. We cannot force our children to share our faith. And yet parents can help their children take their first steps of faith. Parents can play a role in helping children to develop faith. We can't give them faith. We can't force them to have faith. But we can play important roles in helping them to develop it. And this morning, I want us to look at some things that we can do in helping our children to develop faith. You may be sitting there saying today, "Well, my children are grown, or I don't have children, so this lesson doesn't apply to me. I can turn it off." And yet today, this lesson applies to all of us. Because as Christians, as part of the body of Christ here at Plymouth, we all play a role and have a responsibility in developing the lives and the faith of our children. Last week, we took the opportunity to recognize the achievements of our teens as well as our other children. And with that time, we acknowledged the great things that they have done, both within the church and outside the church, activities they've been involved in. But you know what? Those things aren't really the important things. They're great. They're wonderful. But God really isn't going to be that focused on what grade point average our children have received in school. God's not going to be that interested in what kind of award they received at some type of great event. That's not really going to matter to God if their soul is not dedicated and committed to Him first. You see, that's what's important. It's great to honor the achievements, and we should. And we should recognize the things that they have done. But let's not lose sight of the true importance of developing their individual personal faith. We have some insights of things that we can do, and Moses saw the importance of this, and in the book of Deuteronomy, he focuses on this very subject. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, Moses tells the people there, he says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. The them there are the laws." Moses says, "You shall teach the laws or the statutes to them diligently, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." You see, Moses recognized that it was vital for the children to develop their own faith and their own belief. But he also recognized that the parents played a role. They played a role in that, and they had to dedicate to their children a knowledge and an understanding of the law. And so because of that, Moses offers a number of suggestions of what they can do to teach these statutes and these principles to their children. And that's what we want to consider this morning. because perhaps these same ideas can help us in raising children of faith. I want to look at three specific ones this morning, and the first one is Moses admonished the people to know what they were talking about. To know what they were talking about. You see, we must know God's Word and His will for us ourselves before we can ever pass it on to anyone else. I cannot give something to someone else that I do not have knowledge of myself. And Moses wanted God's people to be known, according to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 6, he wanted them to be known as a wise and understanding people. You see, it went beyond just knowledge. He wanted them to understand it, to have a working knowledge of the law. And so, in that passage, he gives some principles. And in verse 2 of Deuteronomy 4, he instructed them not to add anything to the words of the law. He said, don't add anything to it than that which is there. In verses 5 and 6, he instructed them to speak from experience by putting the commandments into practice. He said, know the law, to speak not just from your knowledge of the law, but from your practice of the law. You see, this is a challenge for us today. Know what we are talking about. In other words, we are to gain a first-hand knowledge of God, because we are not able to pass on second-hand information. There's no need. There's no need to pass on second-hand information and to tell our children what our preacher told us, or to tell our children what the Bible class teacher told us. We need to be teaching our children that which we know and understand ourselves. And we cannot teach our children and we cannot help them develop their own faith until we have a working knowledge of God's Word and His will for us ourselves. And until that is implanted into our lives, there is no way we can go about teaching our children. We have to know it. We have to know the Word. We have to know what we're talking about. What would you think if the elders here at Plymouth suddenly hired a preacher and the preacher got up here and he said, well, I've never really read this book, but we'll just kind of wing it together, all right? What would you think? He's out of here. We don't want anyone who doesn't know what they're talking about. How many of you would go to a doctor who says, well, I just want you to know, LB, I know that you're due for heart surgery, but I just want you to know up front that I cheated on all my tests. I didn't really learn anything in school, but I have a cousin who has a friend who's a doctor, and he told me all kinds of good stuff. Let's go. What would you do? You'd say, no way. I want somebody who has a first-hand working knowledge in the medical field, and not only just in the medical field, but in what surgical procedure is about to take place on my body. I don't want anybody cutting on me unless they truly know what they are talking about. We cannot reach our children unless we first know what we are talking about. But the second principle that Moses admonished his people to take hold of was to cultivate their own faith. Cultivate their own faith. What do we do when we cultivate something? When we cultivate, we nurture, we bring up, we replenish, we make it stronger, we make it better. And here Moses tells the people in Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 1, verses 1 through 9, Moses exhorts the people to develop a personal contact with God. Not just a knowledge of the law, but a personal contact with God. In verse 2, he tells them to fear the Lord all the days of their lives. In verse 5, he tells them to love the Lord with all of their heart, with all of their soul, and with all of their strength. In verses 10 through 11, he tells them to live lives of gratitude towards God. In other words, his message to the people was that they were to nurture a relationship of faith with God. They needed to have a personal relationship with Him. Not a relationship that was built on what their parents did or their parents believed. Not a relationship that's built on what their wife believed or their husband believed. But it was a relationship that's built on personal one-on-one relationship with God. a faith that is built on that relationship will then help nurture a relationship of faith in our children. You see, parents cannot give that which they do not possess themselves. We cannot give children something that we do not have ourselves, and we cannot expect our children to follow that which we're not willing to follow ourselves. I remember working with the juvenile court system in Tennessee numerous times, talking to parents who had cigarettes hanging out of their mouths, saying, "I have told that child not to smoke. I have told them it's bad for them. I have told them it's going to kill them, and they just keep doing it and doing it and doing it." Can they expect their children not to follow suit? Can they expect their children to do something that they do not have the backbone and strength to do themselves? No. And in the church, how can we expect our children to develop a relationship of faith with God that we too are not willing to do? How can we expect our children to have something that we're not willing to have? I don't know how many times that I have gone into campaigns, almost every campaign I've gone into, and knocked on doors, and even here in our community, as I've had opportunity to knock doors, almost every time I encounter someone who says, "You know, my children really need to go to church. They really need to go. I don't need to go. You know, I'm kind of set in my ways. I'm not going to change. But my children, they really need to go." Hear that all the time. But how can we expect our children to take hold of something we're not willing to take hold of ourselves? We must first know what we're talking about. We must second cultivate our own faith. But then number three, we must teach by example. We must teach by example. Moses urged the Israelites to practice the law so that their children could see it in action. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and following, Moses reminded them that they had seen that which their children had not. He lists all the things that they've seen. He says, "You have seen these things. You've seen the deliverance. You've seen the miracles. You've seen the wonders. You have seen God's hand at work. You've seen things that your children have not seen. Now help your children see it." You see, they were to help their children see by living it themselves, by living the law in such a way that their children could too see the miracles and see the wonders and see God's hand at work. Children have an innate ability to see through falsehoods. Children can see empty religion better than probably anyone else. Children know when someone is not genuine. They can tell. And our children know when we're just going through the motions. Our children know where our priorities lie. They can tell because, you see, they're in places that no one else is. They're in the car on our way to church as we're driving and bickering and fighting back and forth and griping with our wife. And then they're there when we walk out the door, open the door of the car and go, "Isn't it great to be here?" You see, they see those things. They see us when we're in the backyard and we hit our thumb with a hammer and we rattle out a series of cuss words. And then we're in the building the next Sunday morning and we say, "Oh, you know, it's just a shame that people talk filthy language like that." You see, our children see things that others don't. And they see when there's empty religion. I've had teenagers in my opportunity to serve as youth minister in different congregations. I've had teenagers who've come to me and told me, "You know, why should I go to the Church of Christ all the time? Why can't I visit denominational groups? Why isn't that okay? When we go over to California with my parents, or when we go to New York and our relatives aren't members of the church, we worship with them and my parents are fine with that, but they won't let me go with my friends." Well, how do I explain that? How do I explain that? And when I have kids come to me and tell me about things that their parents are doing, and then they instruct them not to do other things, how do we explain those things? What it boils down to is our children are seeing that we are not living our faith. And yet we want them to. We're expecting our children to do that which we are not willing to do ourselves. Moses told the Israelite people to teach by example. You want your children to live lives of faith? Then you live it yourself. You want your children to have a strong relationship with God? Then you start with yourself. Because your children are going to see that. And the message that Moses had for the people, for the Israelite people, is the same message that God has for us today. Before we start focusing on our kids, we need to focus on our own relationship with God. How do I nurture my child's faith? How do I help cultivate that faith? How do I help that my child develop their faith? The answer is very simple. We make it complex, it's very simple. I develop my own. I nurture my own. I work on my own relationship with God. And then, if I do that, and if I make the Lord and His church the top priority in my life above anything else, my children are going to see that. Does that guarantee that they're going to have a relationship with God? Does that guarantee that they're automatically going to have a strong faith? No. It doesn't guarantee it. But it does guarantee that we have done all that we can possibly do. And then it's up to our children. We cannot give our children faith. Yet we can lead them to developing their own personal faith with God. And we do that by developing and displaying our own faith. This morning, what type of foundation are we laying for our children? Do our children see our lives, in our lives, that no, we're not perfect, but that we're truly striving to have a relationship with God? Do our children see that our priority is Christ and His church above all else? Do they see that? Do they see that in our relationship? People think that I'm old-fashioned because I think that it's important that we put the attendance in the Lord's church first. That may be old-fashioned. But you know what? My kids will never, ever question where our priorities lie. They'll never question. I never questioned my parents because that came first. If we went out, if we went on vacation, we found a place to worship. If we had some type of activities that would interfere with the worship of the Lord's church, we didn't take part in those activities. Because the Lord's church came first. And I never questioned my parents' priorities. Never for a second. I knew where their priorities lie. And I hope my children, through the decisions and choices I make in life, will know that as well. It's not always easy. And it goes far beyond church attendance. But this morning, are you focusing on your personal relationship with God so that your children can see Christ in you and can grow from it? This morning, this message is to more than just our parents. This message is to every single member here at Plymouth. As we play a role in our children's lives, last week it was so evident as we had our children come up here and I had reserved 4 pews for our young people and their families. That wasn't enough. We had them scattered all over. We couldn't get everybody in the front 4 pews. Some people just refused to come up, but nonetheless, there wasn't enough room. We have a large group of children here, and God has blessed us greatly. But what I saw also as I saw these families who were here is that each one of us felt like we were apart. As we had these families talk about their children's achievements, and as we saw the boards that were located out in the foyer and saw the things that the children have accomplished, I heard several people comment, you know, I just feel so great to see the things that they're doing. I feel a part of what they're doing. Why? Because they're our children too. Because we're a family and we function together. And we all play a role in developing and nurturing the faith of our children. And this morning, what are you doing and what am I doing? What are we doing as individuals to nurture and develop that faith? Are we starting with ourselves? Are we putting ourselves first in nurturing and developing our own faith and our own personal relationship with God? If you do that, your children will see it, and they will respond to it. This morning, as I said earlier, there are no sure things when it comes to raising children, and there's no sure thing when it comes to developing a faith in a child. But there is one sure thing that we have been promised of, and that is that if we have a relationship with God, that He will bless us. He will not only bless us on this earth, but most importantly, He will bless us eternally. That is a sure thing. That is something that you can count on, you can bet on. It is going to happen. God says that if you have a relationship with Me, if you take on the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ through baptism, and then begin that walk of life in a relationship with Him, not being perfect, but striving for perfection, then the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ is going to assure the promise of an eternal relationship with God. That is the promise we have. That is a promise that is extended to you today. And I urge you this morning, before you focus on anyone else's relationship with God, start with your own personal relationship here today. Where are you in your relationship with God? If we can help you with that in a public way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.